Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com. Hey there! It's Gary Parrish. It's Wednesday, March 16, 2022. Welcome back to CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and Leaky Black. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, please smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. And today, in this episode, one last time before Thursday and Friday ruins everybody's brackets, we're going to go through every single first-round matchup. For better or worse, we'll pick every game straight up and against the spread, and they will count towards our final 4-1 total. So hopefully this is where I pass dead leg once okay. And for all.
Okay, guy.
Once and for all.
You do have a shot. Volume play right here.
This is where I'm making my run.
Did you make it easy on Nada and send him your picks ahead of time so he doesn't have to write the... Okay, I did. No. Nada has all of my picks ahead of time. So just keep track of GPs in real time, Nada.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. It never even occurred.
Actually,
to me
you know
that.
What? As long as Parrish, as long as what you're gonna do here matches exactly what's on the site, then you're good to go.
I mean, it might not.
Okay. By the way,
by the way, you can't be disappointed in that. We were on CBS Sports HQ. We were on something. You and I worked together. We were on something. And I watched you explain how Murray State was going to beat Kentucky and go to the Sweet 16. Like 45 minutes later on a different thing, you were like, and I'm taking San Francisco over Murray State. I was like, what are you doing?
I'm making my final decision here and now. At the end of the podcast, by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and get ready.
There we go.
Okay, so again, treating the listeners like they're a newborn puppy. That's cool. We are going to have our bracket shown on the screen with our picks and the whole deal. So I finally have finalized my deal. I'm not happy with it, but I just got to live with it and accept it. And whereas the Final Four and one during the podcast, you can never actually go anywhere on a site and see it. All of our tournament picks straight up and against the spread are documented with records, the whole deal at CBSSports.com. Me, GP, David Cobb, Kyle Boone, Chip Patterson, the whole deal. So with that being said, let's get rolling, GP.
Let's start with the West Regional. And the way I want to do it is as if you were looking at the bracket. And we'll just go top left and then straight down. So we'll start with the West Regional. Game one, West Regional. Number one, Gonzaga against number 16, Georgia State. Thursday, 4:15 p.m. Eastern. Going to take place in Portland. You can watch it on TNT. The Zags are 23.5-point favorites. What do you think, Deadleg?
Gonzaga wins and covers. Back to you, Parrish.
Yeah, Gonzaga wins and covers. What are we talking about? They beat everybody they play by 23.5. Yeah. I'm imagining that Ron Hunter ain't rolling through that door.
He is not. He's not even coaching this team anymore. Trivia time. Who is Georgia State's coach?
Oh, I do know this. Rob.
Yes, Lanier. Rob Lanier.
Of course, Rob Lanier. Don't do that anymore. Because I will miss one of like somebody I know. Like they'll text me like, yo, man. All right. Don't do that ever again.
I just wanted a curveball to start. I might throw in a couple of more reasonable trivia times, but I did want to just throw it out there.
Like back when we were not live, like if you'd have done that and I would have missed it, I'd have been like, all right, let's just stop for a second. Back it up. Like, don't do that again. Don't catch it. Like it'll be somebody I had dinner with 2 months ago. And you'll be like, who's so-and-so's coach? I'd be like, they're like, GP, what are you doing? Don't do that ever again.
There we go. All right. Let's keep going.
Game two, West Regional. Number 8, Boise State against number 9 Memphis. It's Thursday, 1:45 p.m. Eastern in Portland. You can watch that on TNT. The Tigers, Penny's Tigers, 2.5-point favorites.
Trivia time. Who is Memphis's coach?
Ooh.
All right. So, a factoid, not trivia time, but factoid here. This is Boise State's 8th NCAA tournament appearance. Has never won a game in the Big Dance. Relatively surprising. Boise State has never won. In fact, the Mountain West has struggled as a conference, period. It's existed for about 23 years. Has only won 30% of its games collectively, has the Mountain West in the NCAA tournament on the men's side there. But I think it ends here. Monty Bates will not play in this game, barring something drastic.
Thank God.
Just to be sure, I did check in with Elgin Bates earlier in the week and did not indicate that that is in the cards. So unless they are, they got something up their sleeve, which I can't imagine would be the case. Memphis, as you've noted, has been tremendous without Amani Bates playing. They got a good shot. This will be a defensive battle. I really do like this game. I like this matchup. This is my favorite of the 8-9s, even though I'll be surprised if either team gets to 65, GP. But I'm going to go with Leon Rice's Boise State Broncos. They won the Mountain West regular season. They won the Mountain West postseason championship. He's got a good group. Memphis has been terrific, but it is still a little bit. It's a little bit gettable in terms of how inconsistent it's capable of being on the offensive end. And so I will just trust Boise State in this spot. On the whole, this season it's been better. And quick note that I mentioned in the court report like 6 weeks back, Boise State did not start off the season well. And then Leon Rice basically kicked one of the players off the team. He said, listen, if you're going to buy into your role, you can play. If not, then you can see you later. And the player left and he changed his starting lineup. And since then it completely flipped around Boise State season. So I will ride with Boise State to move on and play Gonzaga in the second round.
Well, these teams have a lot of common traits. What you just acknowledged is one of them, addition by subtraction. Boise State got better after Leon Rice said bye-bye, and Memphis is better without Amani Bates. Boise State's won 24 of its past 27 games, Memphis 12-2 in its past 14. Since January 28th, I wouldn't actually look this up if I didn't mention it on the last episode. If you go to, I learned how to pick different start times and finish times at barttorvik.com.
Yeah, I told you how to do this, bud.
I know, but I figured it out too. I figured it out after you told me, I figured it out. If you go and make the start date 128 and the end date today,
yeah.
These are the only teams that have been better than Memphis since then. Gonzaga, Tennessee, Iowa, Texas Tech, and Kansas. Oh, Memphis is the sixth best team.
I believe you. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that's the case. Like,
if you want to argue with Bart Torvik,
you're not doubting it. I'm saying it's incredible what Memphis has done.
So the date 128, why is that important? That's the day Amani Bates stopped playing basketball. Since Amani Bates stopped playing basketball, Memphis has been one of the six best teams in the country. Taking the Tigers, laying the points. Game 3, West Regional. Number 5, UConn versus number 12, New Mexico State. Thursday, 6:50 p.m. Eastern. It's in Buffalo. You can watch it on TNT. The Huskies are 6.5-point favorites.
The WAC kind of feels like it's due. This league hasn't won its game in the tournament since 2007, and there have been plenty of good New Mexico State teams that have been there in that span. In fact, this conference has been represented by the Aggies in all but 2 years in the past decade. But I can't go as far as that. I will take UConn to win. I will take New Mexico State to cover. Actually caught up briefly on Tuesday with Chris Jans and just wanted to get a feel for what he saw with UConn.
You're trying to see if he's going to Kansas State. You don't care if he's going, what he thinks about
UConn. I don't know if he's going to Kansas State or not. I don't know if he's going to Kansas State or not. But Kansas State was not addressed when I talked to Chris Jans, to be clear about that. But he did say this team plays the same way every single game. There is not, if you watch their third game or you watch their 27th game, everything they do is the exact same. He said, so there's benefits and there's drawbacks to that. I think New Mexico State will keep it close, but I will take UConn. Tyrese Martin has a big game. Huskies move on.
I know that phone call. That's the phone call you place so you cannot ask about Kansas State. So when you need to ask about Kansas State, you just talked to, we just talked last week.
All right, GP pulling back the curtain.
I'll take Teddy Allen.
Yes.
former king of Pinnacle Bank.
That's right.
Averaging 19.3 points. I think UConn to win, New Mexico State to cover. Game four, West Regional. Number four, Arkansas against number 13, Vermont. Thursday, 9:20 p.m. Eastern in Buffalo. You can watch it on TNT. The Razorbacks are 5 points. Is every game on TNT? What are we doing?
Oh, dude, I got all the TBS ones. Wait till it gets to me. I was like, are all these games on TBS? I had like nine in a row. I was like, is this right?
I know. I had to start double checking myself too. I was like, what is every game on TNT? This is outrageous. Razorbacks are 5 point favorites.
Here's what Musselman said during media availability earlier this week. He goes,
you're trying to see if he's going to Kansas State.
Yeah, I am. Must to K-State. Here we go. Start up the must bus. He goes, you know, it's interesting. We play in Buffalo. Vermont's a 7 hour drive or whatever. UConn's another team in that. That's a 6 hour and 15 minute drive. That would be, they would play each other, obviously, if Arkansas wins, UConn wins. So it's kind of like a road game for us against Vermont, quite frankly. We've got to understand that as well. It's not often when a four seed, when you look at your bracket and say, oh, wow, the first team we play is really close to here. If you're fortunate enough to advance, that team's pretty close too. Not much of an advantage there at all. Must, come on. Like, I know it's close, but it's not that close. Yes, Vermont and UConn fans can drive there. Providence is also going to Buffalo, so there will be heavy Northeast contingent showing up there. I don't want to hear any excuses if you're Arkansas. That being said, I am taking your boy who grew up in South Burlington, the hard streets of where Dorset Street hits Winooski Avenue, is it? It's been a while, man. But shouts to South Burlington High School. I will take Vermont in this spot. They have been on a tear. Arkansas is completely capable of winning this game by 22 points and making me look like an idiot, but that's fine. I had Vermont at one point in my Sweet 16, and then I just could not stick with it. So I have Vermont merely moving on one game, beating Arkansas. Ben Shungu, Ryan Davis, tremendous 1-2. And as I think I mentioned on the Sunday night episode, this Vermont team is about even, if not a little bit better, than the 13-seeded team in 05 that beat Syracuse. Sorrentine from the parking lot and all that great stuff. So I will go with Vermont and John Becker's crew to move along past Arkansas. This is one of my favorite top five, top six games of the first round.
I think it's going to be close. Vermont won its conference tournament title game at 39 points.
Yeah.
What was that about?
That's just outrageous, dude.
It's the largest margin of victory in a Division I tournament title game since 1989. What was that about? Arkansas. So there's like some wild historical stuff connected to this game. You got what I just told you with Vermont. And then Arkansas started 0-3 in the SEC, then won its next eight games. First power conference team to win eight straight after starting 0-3 in the league since UCLA in 1982. Wild stuff going on with these guys. Arkansas, I'll take to win in advance, but I think it's going to be close. Vermont plus the points would be my play. Game five, West Regional. Number six, Alabama against the winner of tonight's Rutgers-Notre Dame game. Whoever wins it going to play Alabama Friday, 4:15 p.m. Eastern in San Diego. You can watch it on TNT. We don't have a number on this game, obviously. We don't even know who Alabama's playing. How about this? If Rutgers wins, I'll take Rutgers over Alabama. If Notre Dame wins, I'll take Alabama over Notre Dame.
That's fair. Trivia time. Last time Rutgers made back-to-back NCAA tournaments. What year?
Oh, God. Damn it. I read this last night. I read it last night, and then I'm looking here, and I didn't put it in my notes.
It's in my notes.
Sorry. I don't know.
Just take a guess. Guess a year.
1975 and 76?
Oh, boom. You are right on it, buddy. Yep.
I told you.
Exactly it.
That's my big brain. That's my big brain.
75, 76. We haven't gotten to Longwood yet. 75, 76 was the last time Rutgers made back-to-back NCAA tournaments. I will take Alabama no matter the winner. For entertainment purposes, I will take Rutgers to beat Notre Dame and to cover in the first four game on Wednesday night.
Game six, West Regional. Number three, Texas Tech. Number 14, Montana State. It's going to be Friday, 1:45 p.m. Eastern in San Diego. You can watch it on TNT. Red Raiders are 15-point favorites.
It's big.
Big number. Number one team in adjusted defensive efficiency, according to KenPom.
This was the of the 1, 2, and 3 seats with big lines here. This is the one that I'm least confident in. I'm taking Texas Tech both here. On the Montana State side, I love stories like this. It's Montana State's first appearance since 96, straight out of Bozeman. Danny Sprinkle is the coach now. He played for Montana State the last time the school made the NCAA tournament, bringing his alma mater back. That's a really cool story. Because of the way Texas Tech plays, I think Montana State actually has a tremendous chance at covering. Against my better judgment, I will take the Red Raiders to both win and cover that 15.
I got Texas Tech winning the game, Texas Tech covering the number. Game 7, West Regional. Number 7, Michigan State against number 10, Davidson. Friday, 9:40 p.m. Eastern. It's in Greenville. You'll be there.
I will.
You can watch that on CBS, America's most watched network, the network of stars. The Spartans are a one-point favorite.
What kind of Michigan State team are we going to get here, GP?
The kind that gets eliminated.
Okay.
Foster Lawyer, from small role player at Michigan State to the leading scorer for the team that eliminates Michigan State from the NCAA tournament.
Michigan State's best attribute, if you go to its KenPom page and look at it, is three-point shooting. It ranks 17th in the country. Good three-point shooting team. Davidson, of course, is a really good three-point shooting team. It's even better. It ranks 6th in the nation. Better offensive team there. Wonderful head coaching battle. Different kind of styles. This has great potential. I am going to take Michigan State to win this game and to cover. It's a point and a half, or at least it was when I last checked. These lines are bumping by a point or a half point. So if for whatever reason you're listening to this late Wednesday, the line, like, it's conceivable a line could move ever so slightly, but we're going with what it is as we record here. I'll take Sparty to win into cover, and to in doing so, if it's close, prompt any ridiculous conspiracy theories about Coach K versus Izzo. Second round, we had to do it. Whatever, man. I want the Foster Bates Bowl. Davidson versus Duke. Let's go. But I got Michigan State winning and covering.
Game 8, West Regional. Number 2, Duke against number 15, Cal State Fullerton. Going to be Friday, 7:10 p.m. Eastern in Greenville. You can watch it on CBS, America's most watched networks, the network of stars. Blue Devils, 18.5-point favorites.
Duke's been, well, problematic as it heads into this NCAA tournament there. Side note on Fullerton. Longest wind drought of any team in the field. I did my annual stats, facts, nuggets, goodies post that published Tuesday night. And in that includes this, the fact that Fullerton last won a game in 78 in the Big Dance. So it has the longest drought of any team in the tournament to have previously won a game in this tournament. And that drought will continue there. Mike Krzyzewski, oh, by the way, 97 NCAA tournament wins. He'll need to get to the Elite Eight to crack 100. This is his 36th tournament. And he has the second best win percentage of any coach in the NCAA tournament. Only John Wooden is better. Krzyzewski's won 76.4% of his games. Wooden won 82.5%. Duke and Fullerton have never met. Duke is undefeated against Big West Conference teams. I will take Duke to win and to win easily. I think this is a, wash it out of your system in terms of the ACC tournament. And Duke makes a definitive statement.
I remember when we talk about Duke early in the season, and it'd be like, right now, A.J. Griffin's not even part of the rotation. Once you get him going and these young guys mature and get better, boy, Duke's going to be scary. They never got better. They just never got better.
I know.
They're a season low right now. 12th at KenPom. Supposed to get better. Never got better. I do have a win in this game, though, obviously, and covering the number. All right. So those are the first round picks. Now let's play it out through the rest of the region. Tell me how you've got the West Regional unfolding.
Okay. I will take, also, I'll have Gonzaga beating Boise State to reach the Sweet 16. Mark Few going against one of his best friends in Leon Rice. And that'll just be intriguing because even though Boise and Rice haven't faced this Gonzaga roster, he knows, you know, Mark Few's tendencies. They've talked throughout the season. So he'll have a little bit of some insight there. Maybe Boise State's got a shot to keep it close. I am taking UConn over Vermont. That is a Matt Norlander special. Came of age in the great state, the Green Mountain State of Vermont, before moving to Connecticut. Norlander game right there, the whole way. I will go with the state I have resided in throughout my adult life. I will take UConn. I did have Vermont at one point. I just couldn't quite get myself to get there. I will have Dan Hurley moving on to face Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. I have Bama beating Texas Tech in the second round. I will trust Nate Oates' team to come out and play really strong, JD Davison to have a huge NCAA tournament, and for them to show more of what they've been against good teams than how bad they've been and inconsistent against lesser teams there. I think Bama matches up really interestingly against Texas Tech. I also noted this, I think in my 1 to 68 piece, Texas Tech is a great defensive team. It's also extremely physical. And I believe that playing in the Big 12, the officials in that conference get used to seeing how Texas Tech plays and allows them to play more physically. I will be interested to see Mark Adams in his first tournament as a head coach, how physical Texas Tech is allowed to be. I kind of see that maybe being an issue, particularly against a Bama team, but that is contrasting styles. Bama's not great on defense. Obviously, Texas Tech is. Give me Bama. Have a little fun there. And then I have Duke moving on past Michigan State and probably doing so without too much resistance. I actually think Duke's going to win both its games this weekend by double digits and kind of strut into San Francisco, where I will be if Duke indeed gets to the second weekend. I'll be traveling out there to the city by the bay. I have Gonzaga over UConn. Those teams have a little bit of history there. And then I have Duke beating Alabama to have Gonzaga versus Duke in the regional final in San Francisco, giving us the best possible matchup we could possibly ask for before we get to a Final Four. I will take Gonzaga to end Mike Krzyzewski's career. Mark Few gets to a second consecutive Final Four, gets to his third overall. Chet Holmgren versus Paolo Banchero. Gonzaga gets, avenges its loss from the day after Thanksgiving. Fantastic job there overall. If we can get that kind of game, it'd be great to cover. Great for the sport. Gonzaga versus Duke. I'll pick that in the regional final. Zags move on.
I'll be real quick here in the spirit of gotta catch a flight. These dudes moved my flight up 15 minutes this morning. That should be illegal.
I don't even know how they do that, by the way. Like, we don't even have the time to debate it, but that should actually literally be illegal. Yes.
You should not be able to move somebody's flight up. Move it back. I don't care. Can't move it up. That's outrageous. Yep. I've got, so you know my second round teams. We just went through that. I've got Gonzaga, Arkansas in the Sweet 16, Texas Tech, Duke in the Sweet 16. Gonzaga beats Arkansas. Duke beats Texas Tech. I've got Gonzaga, Duke in the Elite Eight. And just like you, the Zags in the Final Four. Before we get to the East Regional, real quick, let me remind you about our Bracket Challenge game. We want you to enter, compete with us. I'm going to be in there. Norlander, Kyle Boone, David Cobb, Chip Pat. Who knows who else? Could be anybody. Could it? Like, you might look up. Could be anybody. So join us at cbssports.com/CBSEyeOnBrackets, EYE on Brackets. CBSEyeOnBrackets. Winner's going to get a $100 gift card to Paramount Plus, which is obviously terrific because you're able to watch NCAA tournament games on Paramount Plus, tons of soccer, Champions League, golf, NFL in the fall. Beyond that, Halo going to be streaming starting March 24th exclusively on Paramount Plus. You can go to paramountplus.com/Halo. Try it all for free. And when you enter a bracket challenge game, don't stop there. Enter more. You can create a group, compete against your friends, compete against your enemies. You can fill out a bracket for the chance to win a trip to the 2023 Final Four. It's all free. Did I mention that? You can play on the CBS Sports app or at cbssports.com/CBSEyeOnBrackets. Okay, Deadleg, you walk us through the East Regional game by game, just like I did for the West.
1 seed Baylor versus 16 seed Norfolk State. That's Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern. You're going to find that on CBS. It's in Fort Worth. Baylor is favored by 21. Who do you got?
Baylor straight up. This is an inflated line. Beware of inflated lines, Deadleg. Norfolk State plus the points.
Agree with you. This is the 10-year anniversary of Norfolk State beating second seed Missouri with Kyle O'Quinn and Pendarvis Williams. I will have Norfolk State to cover, Baylor to win. Second game, we've got 8 seed UNC against number 9 Marquette. This is Thursday at approximately 4:30 p.m. Eastern on TBS, also in Fort Worth. Carolina -3 is the line.
It feels like everybody's taking North Carolina. I don't even know if that's true, but it just feels like that. So I'm going Marquette straight up against the spread to hold deal.
You and me both, buddy. Although Shaka Smart's only won 2 games in the NCAA tournament since he took VCU to the Final Four in 2011. Way too much action, momentum on Carolina here. Fade the public, go Marquette. It's an 8-9. It's essentially a coin flip of a game, even though there's actually a lot tighter lines between bigger seed disparities and some other games. Go Marquette. I do like Justin Lewis to have a big-time game here. And Carolina's obviously capable, but I'm just fading the public on that. Number 5, scooting down the bracket. Number 5, St. Mary's He's going to play 12-seeded Indiana. Obviously got the win over Wyoming. A bit of an ugly game. Trayce Jackson-Davis was awesome on Tuesday night. 29 points. They forced Wyoming into 19 turnovers. Then they hopped on a bird, flew out to Portland. They will play Thursday at 7:20 on, you guessed it, it's on TBS. Game will be in Portland. The line is St. Mary's minus 3.
I'll take St. Mary's to win the game. With all due respect to the internet in Indiana, I'll take St. Mary's. I'll lay the points with St. Mary's as well.
I'm going to take Indiana to win this game straight up. So they'll cover and they'll win it out. We will have yet again an instance of a first four team not just getting through Dayton and then saying see ya, gets through Dayton and gets into the weekend. I will ride Trayce Jackson-Davis. Xavier Johnson is really playing well. Jordan Geronimo had an awesome game. So yeah, I will go with the momentum play there. St. Mary's has been sitting for a long time. West Coast Conference Championship. They'll have not played in 9 days by the time they play this. So I will go with Indiana, which will be on short rest. Next game, scooting down the bracket. We've got 4-seed UCLA against number 13 Akron. This will be approximately at 10 p.m. Eastern on, you guessed it, TBS. The game is also in Portland. This will follow St. Mary's, Indiana in that building. The line here, UCLA minus 14. What do you think?
Inflated line. Inflated line alert. UCLA to win the game, Akron to cover.
I will go UCLA both here. The MAC has won a game in the NCAA tournament 3 consecutive times. So this conference has done well. I don't love Akron in this spot. The last time John Gross is here as the head coach of a MAC program, he took Ohio to the Sweet 16 more than a decade ago. So he has had success at this level in this kind of bracket. But I will go with UCLA to win, kind of pull away. I actually think this is a late night Thursday tip. To me, this one kind of just, you don't need to be too locked in on it. I think they kind of breeze on by, and it's not too dramatic. Scooting on down, one of the best first round games we've got on the board here. Number 6, Texas. Number 11, Virginia Tech. This is in the East region. Friday, approximately 4:40 p.m. Eastern on. You already know it. This game is going to be on TBS.
Yes.
Like 36 others. This is in Milwaukee. Texas minus 1 was the latest line. I will be interested to see if this line moves again before we get to tip. Again, Friday, approximately 4:40. This is really this is the squeeze-in game as we leave the afternoon and get into the evening. This really could set the table for a fun Friday night back-end session. GP, UT minus 1. What do you feel?
I'm taking Texas, you know, laying the point straight up. I don't feel great about it, though.
I'm going to take Virginia Tech both here. I'm completely swayed by what I saw in person. And I'm going to take Virginia Tech because it has rated well in the metrics all season. Texas has as well, don't get me wrong, but it's clearly been more inconsistent in play. And I think Virginia Tech's just a more cohesive team. So you can easily make the case for either. It's just a 1-point line, but I will go with the Hokies and Mike Young to move on along. By the way, kind of surprising, 5th straight tournament Virginia Tech has made. So that fan base has become accustomed to getting here. Moving on down, East region, 3-seed Purdue, number 14 Yale. This is a Friday 2 p.m. tip on TV on TBS. It will come before we get Texas Virginia Tech. It's in Milwaukee. Purdue is minus 15.5 in this game, Parrish. Purdue and Wisconsin have 12 wins against the field. That's the most of any in the field. Purdue and Wisconsin have 12 victories against teams that are in this NCAA tournament. 15.5 for Purdue. Do you like that line for the Boilers, or is it maybe thinking Yale can sneak up and cover?
Purdue now inside the top 100 in adjusted defensive efficiency. According to KenPom, ranked 99th. Move it up. Watch out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Purdue straight up, and I'll lay the points with the Boilermakers.
Excellent. By the way, I see some good conversation in the chat. Absolutely. If you're trading off your upset picks, final four picks, love to see that from our community. Thank you very much. And thank you to everyone. You got us into the 4th spot on the overall sports charts on Apple Podcasts. You're incredible. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We've never been that high. Really, really great. Great to see you here watching us live on a Wednesday morning. Keeping down in the bracket, number 7, Murray State, number 10, San Francisco. I've talked about this game so much because I cannot wait to see it. I think it's the best one on the board on Thursday or Friday. This will be an approximately 9:45 p.m. Eastern tip on CBS. That's right. America's Most Watched Network. What is it, GP? That's right. Thursday, 9:45 Eastern, CBS in Indianapolis. Murray State is a 1-point favorite.
I now have these little triggers. I can't even hear the letter CBS without saying America's Most Watched Network. I can't hear the word YouTube without saying
YouTube.
I just want to make YouTube feel welcome. You know,
you do. You do. No, I do like it. I just don't know how your brain got to the point where it's like, oh, you're so cute, you little YouTube.
Well, I just wanted to, make little YouTube feel welcome. I just wanted to feel like, I just want to acknowledge its presence. What are you drinking there, dead leg? Screwdriver early in the morning?
No, this is orange peach mango. Got to stay healthy. Got to stay in shape.
Coke Zero.
Coke Zero at 9:30 Central Time. Good times.
Zero sugar. It's zero sugar.
Sicko mode right now. That's might sicko mode. It is.
Might as well be drinking green juice. Good for you.
I believe that's a corporate sponsor for the tournament, too. So why not, right? Synergy. Murray All State right. -1, by the way.
Yeah, I'm taking the Racers. Who are you taking? I've seen you pick this game every way you could possibly pick this game. I've seen you pick it in the past 3 days.
You know what hasn't been talked about so far? The fact that Murray State can win or lose this game.
It's true.
I don't know why the rest of the college basketball media refuses to talk about this. Okay? Wake up, people. I'm going to take Murray State to win. I don't know. Okay. I just taken Murray State. I can see this going either way completely. San Francisco can win or lose. Murray State can win or lose. You're not getting this analysis anywhere else. By the way, the last time Murray State was in this spot was 2012 when it was a 6 seed. It did win one game before losing in the second round. We will agree. We will take Murray State to win and to cover.
If Murray State loses that game, is it the final game for Matt McMahon with the Racers?
I'm going to say yes.
Me too. There's too many jobs open.
There are too many jobs, and he's been too good. I'm going to say it's his last game. I'm saying this is the last season he'll coach with Murray State.
I think that's true as well.
Last game, 2-seed Kentucky versus number 15 St. Peter's. This is a Thursday, 7:10 p.m. Eastern tip on CBS. It will come right before Murray State in San Francisco in Indianapolis. So relatively local for Kentucky fans to get on up there, and get on up there they will. Kentucky is favored by 17, GP.
I'll take the Wildcats and I'll lay the points with the Wildcats. I think they blow St. Peter's out.
I do too. And on that note, every single tournament we get to this point with ones and twos and threes where these lines are big. And then there's going to be one that doesn't threaten to win, but it's like, wow, that team hung between, 6 and 12 points the entire night. No one's thinking St. Peter's can do this. Shaheen Holloway is a really good coach. I kind of get a feeling St. Peter's is going to make this tighter than I think it can be, but I'm with you. I'm taking Kentucky minus 17. The last time the MAC, or as Chip Patterson said, the MAC won a tournament game was in 2009. So keep that in mind as well. This conference and trivia time. What team was that in 2009 out of the MAC?
Why are people calling me? I don't have any idea.
Sienna.
I'm more interested in trying to like somebody just called me and I declined it within a second. That means don't call back, doesn't it? Every time.
Is it someone that you feel like you need to pick it up though?
No, there's nobody I want to talk to.
There's
nobody I want to talk to right now.
All right, here we go. We've both got Kentucky moving along and you're up.
So we got to run through the...
Oh, yeah, we do. We have to run through our picks. Okay, you go. That's right. We got to run through these picks. You pick your bracket first. Yeah, who do you got moving along, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so at Baylor-Marquette, I got Baylor beating Marquette. I got UCLA getting past St. Mary's, Purdue getting past Texas, Kentucky getting past Murray State. I've got UCLA and Kentucky in the Elite Eight, and then I'm taking the Bruins. I'm taking Mick Cronin, greatest coach in UCLA history, to get to a second straight Final Four.
I'm going to take Baylor to get past Marquette. I will take UCLA to beat Indiana. Matchup with some blue bloods there. By the way, the East, this might be a record, GP. The East right now has 8 teams with a national title. The 8 teams are Baylor, Carolina, Marquette, Indiana, UCLA, Wyoming technically applied to that, San Francisco, Kentucky. I think that's the 8. I have the total number in my stats and facts post, but I can't bring it up right now. It's a joke how many teams. It's like 40 combined national championships in this region alone. Ton of history. Really, really cool. I will have Baylor playing UCLA in the Sweet 16. I've got Purdue, Virginia Tech in a thriller with the Boilermakers moving along. And I'm sticking with this. You'll see it at the end when Kanata shows our brackets. I will Murray State, Kentucky in a terrific intrastate battle. I will have Murray State doing to UK what Loyola Chicago did to Illinois last year. I will take the two loss racers and Matt McMahon to beat Kentucky and move on to the regional semifinals, get to the Sweet 16, go to Philadelphia. You got to have some sort of noise here. I will go with that. And then I've got UCLA beating Baylor in an upset. Johnny Juzang, Jaime Jaquez and group making another strong run. Purdue over Murray State. And then I will stick with the Boilermakers, my preseason champion, to win it all. Am I picking them to win the whole thing now? Stick around. You'll find out. I will have Purdue making the Final Four out of the East on the bottom left of your bracket, beating UCLA. And that's how I see it playing out.
All right. Before we get to the South Regional, please, I see you all here in the comment section. Let me remind you that if you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. And you ready for this? Enjoy a word from our sponsors.
This is about our legacy. Always has been and always will be. Paramount Plus presents Women Who Move Mountains.
Everybody ready?
Let's fly. A celebration of the powerful, hilarious.
I'm famous!
Game-changing women who bring our series and stories to life. And they're all here on Paramount Plus. Women Who Move Mountains. Explore the collection and so much more on Paramount Plus.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
South Regional, game one. Number one, Arizona against either Wright State or Bryant. We don't know who yet. Friday, 7:27 p.m. Eastern, it's in San Diego. You're going to be able to watch it on True TV. Disrespectful. Number one, Arizona. True TV. Disrespectful.
I just give, we're obviously recording this Wednesday before we get to Bryant, Wright State. Listen, Wright State moving along would be fine. I want Peter Kiss versus Kirk Kreese. Again, swag.
Kirk Kreese is dead.
Sir, swag capital. I want Kirk Kreese smack talking from the bench, Peter Kiss. Swag capital of this bracket. Okay. There are no two players that are more arrogant and cocky than these two. Give me Bryant versus Arizona. I have Arizona winning and covering no matter who's playing and what the line is.
Kirk Kreese going, hit him with his crutch.
Yeah. He might literally throw it at him. He threw his shoes in the stands after Arizona won the Pac-12 title.
Yeah. So I think we're both going to have Arizona moving on, but obviously there's no number on the game yet. So just Arizona to move on. Game two, South Regional, number eight, Seton Hall, number nine, TCU, Friday, 9:57 p.m. Eastern in San Diego. Appropriately on True TV.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it just is.
All right. So we got Frogs versus Pirates. Fascinating.
Horned Frogs are 1-point favorites.
Pirates. Shouts to Born on a Pirate Ship. Old Apartment. Great song off that Bare Naked Ladies album. Parrish, I'm sure, spins it all the time. Fading Memories blending into dull tableau. You know what I'm saying, JP, right? Here we go. Yeah. I will go TCU both here. Jamie Dixon. We got a lot of coaches guiding their alma maters to this NCAA tournament. Dixon's like one of 12 or more. There's a lot of those. I will take TCU to win. In a complete coin flip, as far as I'm concerned.
The wrong team favored.
Oh, it is.
The wrong team favored situation.
You know how this usually goes for you, though.
Yeah. I know how everything usually goes for me. Kevin Willer loses this game. Last game at Seton Hall.
Oh, man. No shortage of buzz that Willard really is the number one guy for Maryland at this point. I will say no. I will say Kevin Willard is still at Seton Hall. But that's for me, that might be a wrong team favorite situation as well. But I will say no.
Game three, South Regional. Number 5, Houston against number 12, UAB. Friday, 9:20 p.m. Eastern in Pittsburgh. You can watch it on TNT. The Cougars are 8.5-point favorites.
I flipped on this. I had Houston. I'm going to give a shout-out right now to shot quality. How about this? I put up a graphic a couple days ago. Only 4 teams in the NCAA tournament field rank in the tournament's top 15 in transition scoring volume and their efficiency in transition. The 4 teams are Gonzaga, a 1 seed, Kansas, a 1 seed, Arizona, 1 seed, and UAB, a 12. That's a joke. That's an absolute joke. It single-handedly flipped me on this game. I am taking UAB to win, obviously to cover in doing so. Houston as a 5 is fine. Houston hasn't beaten a ton of really good teams this season. Andy Kennedy's got a really, really solid team. Jelly Walker said afterward, we don't care who was. He had a great quote, man. I wish I had the audio to play it, but frankly, we don't have the time. And do we have the trust that you're even going to hear it if I do it? That's an inside joke if anyone literally just discovered this podcast 2 shows ago. So I can't have it. But Jelly Walker, I love this dude. Incredible story. Not short on confidence. Give me Andy Kennedy and the Blazers to blaze in to the second round. Of course, we've got a 12-over-5 situation. It's going to happen somewhere at least once. We'll see if it's here. I think it will be.
This is a Conference USA I grew up in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a Conference USA matchup. I was raised in these Conference USA streets. I was born in the Metro, but I was raised in CUSA.
Fair enough.
I almost did it, but I'm taking Houston to win the game. UAB to cover. You can't give Jelly Walker 8.5 points. That's ridiculous. It's disrespectful. Game 4, South Regional, number 4, Illinois, number 13, Chattanooga. Friday, 6:50 p.m. Eastern in Pittsburgh. You can watch that on TNT. Illinois, 7.5-point favorite.
Last time Nuga made the Sweet 16 was 25 years ago. 7.5. This one is a tricky, tricky number. By the way, we are squeezed for time. GP's got to take a flight, but I'm being told by the bosses we have a better live number right now by far than any. I will take, when GP scoots out of here, I will take a few questions at the end of the show for the live audience because you guys are like a huge number right now. So we are tight. I will do that at the end because GP's got to catch a flight here. I will take Illinois to win. I will take Nuga to cover. SoCon, by the way, team has never won a game seeded 13th. Little fact for you. Give me Illinois to win, but Chattanooga to cover. This will be close.
Game. Oh, did I pick it? No. Illinois to win, Chattanooga to cover. Inflated line. I don't know if it actually is. But.
Okay. Well, I agree, though. So.
Okay. Game 5, South Regional. Number 6, Colorado State against number 11, Michigan. Thursday, 12:15 p.m. Eastern in Indianapolis. You can watch it on CBS. Some funny business going on. Funny business right here. 6 seed, 2.5-point underdog to the 11 seed Michigan Wolverines. Funny business.
All right, couple quick notes on this. One, you're going to see at least 5 shots of Ali Farouk Manesh in this game. Why? Because the former Northern Iowa legend who beat Kansas, the number 1 overall seed, 12, 13 years ago at this point, he's an assistant at Colorado State. So you will get plenty of, you can't be serious with that shot coming here in this one. Colorado State finally got a plane. I believe it's on the ground in Indianapolis. I reported that out late Monday night, but they got that done. I am going to go Michigan both, and I think it's against my better judgment. I will take Michigan in the spot. Michigan, by the way, with 14 losses, has the most of any team in the field. It is a rare situation where the team with the most losses in the field is from a power conference. That is true. But I will go with Michigan because I'm not sure how Colorado State will match up with Hunter Dickinson. Although, GP, you can easily retort, how will Michigan match up with one David Roddy?
Nobody matches up with David Roddy. You want to play him down by the rim? He's too strong. 6'5", 250. Oh, you want to get out in space? He'll bounce it and pull it on you. Mountain West Conference Player of the Year. I'm going Colorado State. Michigan has been... I don't trust Michigan. I trust David Roddy more than I trust Michigan.
That's a fair point in all seriousness.
Game 6. So Colorado State to win and to cover. Taking them outright. Game 6, South Regional. Number 2, Tennessee. Number 14, the Longwood Longwoods. What's their mascot, Deadleg?
You just tell them, GP.
It's a penis.
How about this for irony? Longwood has the smallest team in the tournament. Fact. Wouldn't think it.
You know who's got the biggest team in the tournament?
I know the actual answer, but I don't know if that's where you're going.
Pete Davidson.
Okay, there we go. The answer is Arizona. I don't even want to know how you know these things. Don't even know. Don't even want to know. I have Tennessee winning this game and covering. That's my pick.
Ariana Grande told me.
All right.
Tennessee to win, but I'm the Longwoods plus 17. Get out of my face. I'll take the Longwoods plus 17. I can't take the Longwoods plus 17 every time. Game 7, South Regional. Number 7, Ohio State. Number 10, Loyola Chicago. Going to be played Friday, 12:15 p.m. Eastern in Pittsburgh. Is every game in Pittsburgh?
Everyone's in Pittsburgh, and all of them are on TBS or TNT.
You can watch it on CBS. It's a pick 'em.
Sister Jean, obviously. I know, only pick 'em on the board. Sister Jean, obviously, getting CBS. In all seriousness, I want this woman to live to be 115 in Loyola Chicago in the tournament. She's 103 right now. It's unbelievable, dude.
It's outrageous. She's like, she's a million years old. And totally clear minded.
You and I got no shot of that. No.
Are you out of your mind? I won't be. I don't know that I'll be clear minded at 55. Sister Jean is amazing.
Just incredible. Still the most surreal press conference experience of my life. Against my better judgment, probably I'm picking against Sister Jean. I'm going Ohio State in this spot. Ohio State has not made the Sweet 16 since 2013. I think they're going to do it this year. That's a little sneak preview. Give me the Buckeyes. I do think that Zed Key and Kyle Young are going to play in this game. That will matter. Drew Valentine, 30 years old, youngest coach in the tournament. Obviously was there as an assistant previously, but I will take Ohio State in a great one. This is a pick 'em, a narrow win for the Buckeyes.
Chris Holtman cannot lose to a mid-major in back-to-back years.
It'd be rough. And if memory serves, they're in the same spot. They were the two in the same part of the bracket a year ago when they got bounced by Oral Roberts.
Yeah, I'm taking Ohio State. Game 8, South Regional, number 2, Villanova, against number 15, Delaware. Friday, 2:45 p.m. Eastern. It's also in Pittsburgh, like everything else. The Pirates, the Penguins, and every NCAA tournament game, plus the Steelers and Mitch Trubisky.
That's right. Eastern Seaboard special, Nova, Delaware. Not geographic rivals, but frenemies, I guess. Villanova wins and covers 15.5. Delaware's, they weren't a top-tier team in the CAA. I think Villanova wins this without much resistance.
Villanova wins the game. It's an inflated line.
All right.
Delaware plus the 15.5. All right. Walk us.
I'll be fast.
Three, how you got the South Regional unfold.
All right, I got some nuttiness here. Arizona beaten. Of course, I got nuttiness. This is the Longwood section of the bracket. So Arizona beats TCU. Illinois over UAB. Tennessee over Michigan. Although Barnes and Tennessee collectively have spotty histories performing in this tournament. But I got Tennessee moving along there. I will take Ohio State to beat Villanova. You've got to listen. As my stats facts post showed, at least one two fails to make the Sweet 16 almost every single season. You got to figure out which two that's going to be because it's going to happen again. I've got two twos getting knocked out before. I got Murray over Kentucky. I've got Ohio State knocking off Villanova. And then I will have Tennessee beating Ohio State on the bottom half of the South to move along. And I'm going to take Illinois to beat Arizona in the Sweet 16. And Arizona fans, I get it. You hear this. You are shuddering with thoughts of 2005. But Brad Underwood's team is good enough to do it. I think they're going to put this together. I will take Illinois to beat Tennessee and move along to the Final Four. When we get to the question part, if anyone wants to ask me about that, I'll spend more time there. But we're up against it, and I got to let GP get out of here pretty quick.
The thing that's going to make me late is you continuing to say we're up against it.
Okay, I won't say it again.
Arizona and Illinois is what I got in the Sweet 16. Also, Tennessee and Villanova. I've got Tennessee over Villanova, Arizona over Illinois, and then I've got Arizona in the Final Four in the first season under Tommy Lloyd. Deadleg, take us through the Midwest.
Pete Davidson, by the way. Okay, Midwest, bottom corner, right side of the bracket. Here's this region. One seed Kansas, number 16 Texas Southern, Thursday, approximately 10 p.m. Eastern. True TV, deservedly so, in Fort Worth, Kansas, 21.5 point favorite.
I'm going to take Kansas straight up, but Texas Southern. The great Johnny Jones.
We're in agreement. This is the 32nd straight NCAA tournament to feature the Kansas Jayhawks, longest streak of all time. Next game, 8-seed San Diego State versus number 9 Creighton, Thursday, 7:27 p.m. Eastern on True TV, also in Fort Worth. The Aztecs are a 2.5 favorite. Who you got?
I love the Mountain West Conference. I can't pick against it. Give me my Aztecs straight up into cover.
Again, Mountain West has a 30% win percentage in its history in this tournament, but I will also be with GP, San Diego State, to win and to cover. Brian Dutcher yet to win a tournament game since taking over for this program from Steve Fisher. I think he does it here. 5-seed Iowa, number 12 Richmond, Thursday. Floating somewhere between 3:10, 3:20 Eastern, depending on when the first game happens. As a reminder, tournament games usually take about 5 minutes longer on average to finish because of longer commercial breaks. Bake that into your schedule if you need to. This is going to be on True TV, Iowa, Richmond. Iowa, a 10.5-point favorite.
Iowa to win, Iowa to cover. Keegan Murray continues to make a run to be the CBS Sports National Player of the Year. As we've noted before, we don't vote on that yet. We wait until after the Elite Eight games, just before the Final Four. Oscar Tshiebwe, clearly the favorite, obviously going to win most National Player of the Year awards. Keegan Murray ain't out of this thing, far as I'm concerned.
I agree with you, and I'm sorry, Richmond, I'm completely dismissing you. I think this is a laugher and not even close. Scooting on down, my toughest game. 4-seed Providence, 13 South Dakota State, Thursday, 12:40 p.m. Eastern on True TV. It's a joke. This game should not be on True TV, but so it goes. This is going to be in Buffalo, Providence -2.
I hate this game.
I love and hate it. Yeah,
I love it, but it forces me to pick against a team that I love deep in my heart. I've been championing Providence all season, but I can't pick somebody to beat my Jackrabbits. So I take my Jackrabbits. South Dakota State to win, South Dakota State to cover.
Via ESPN, this is a crazy stat. Providence, a 2-point favorite right here. Never been a 4-seed this low of a favorite ever in the first round. And the 4 seeds previously that were only 2.5-point favorites, Vanderbilt in 2010 and Dayton in 2003, they lost, okay? Baylor Shireman is the Summit version of Larry Bird. I will take South Dakota State to win this game. And it feels like the trap of all traps, and Providence just wins this thing by 11. But you and I are together. We will take the Jackrabbits to win into cover. Love and hate this game. It was my toughest one to finally decide on. And I finally flipped this morning. I had Providence until about an hour and a half ago. 6-seed LSU, number 11, Iowa State. This is a Friday, 7:20 p.m. Eastern tip on TBS. It's going to be going down in Milwaukee. Tigers are -4. Who the heck knows? Who do you got?
I'm picking the team that didn't fire its coach this past weekend. I think there's a trend in the NCAA. Don't ever bet on a team that just fired its coach a few days ago. Give me, unless it was Michigan that time they went and won the national championship. Except for that time. I'll take Iowa State straight up against the spread, the whole deal.
Iowa State was picked last in the Big 12 and made the tournament. TJ Altsberger's done a great job this year. It has been just circling and just kind of been directionless over the past 6 weeks. I will go LSU, but I have no idea. 3-seed Wisconsin versus number 14 Colgate. This is going to be around 10 p.m. Eastern on TBS on Friday in Milwaukee. Wisconsin is a 7.5-point favorite again in Milwaukee.
Wisconsin to win the game in advance. But Colgate, my toothpaste of choice. It's not really.
I go Tom's.
Unless it's a sponsor. If Colgate's a sponsor, then that's my toothpaste of choice. If not, it's Crest.
Okay. We are not sponsored by toothpaste. I'm almost positive.
Well, somebody needs to work on that.
All right.
Wisconsin to win, Colgate to cover.
I have Wisconsin to win, Colgate to cover. I would take Colgate to win this game straight up if it was in Fort Worth or Pittsburgh, but it's not. It's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I will take Bucky to win, Colgate to cover. Colgate is the second best three-point shooting team in this tournament. The only one better is South Dakota State, which is by far the best three-point shooting team, and it's why I took them to beat Providence. Scooting on down this bracket, number 7 USC, 10-seed Miami, approximately 3:15 p.m. Eastern on True TV. This will be on Friday. I will be there. This is kind of a good game tucked in the middle of the afternoon. This is in Greenville. USC is a 1.5-point favorite.
Miami to win, Miami to cover. How about Jim Larrañaga? Enters the season, people whispering like, you know, Coach L might retire at the end of the season. Dude went to the NCAA tournament, signed a contract extension.
done a great job. I'm going to have him losing, but I got him covering.
God.
I have USC to win, Miami to cover. Yes, the line is narrow. I got a buzzer beater situation here. I got Miami losing similarly to how it lost the last time it was in this tournament when Loyola Chicago knocked it out and then went on to make the Final Four. So we both have Miami covering. You have the Canes to win. I have USC to win. Last game, and there's a lot of high-level defenses in this region, by the way. Creighton, San Diego State, what, LSU, Auburn? They're all high-level. Auburn, 2-seed, 15-seed Jacksonville State. Greenville, this will be my first game on the ground there on Friday. True TV, 12:40 p.m. Eastern. Man, this live number keeps climbing, Nada says. Hello to everyone. We got more to come. I will go, 15.5, Auburn. GP, Jacksonville State covering this number?
No, absolutely not. Walker Kessler is going to block 17 shots.
No, realistically, let's do the over-under. If I set it at 7.5, will you go over for Walker Kessler?
No, because I don't think he'll play enough minutes because it'll be a blowout. But he's going to block a shot every 45 seconds.
Well, then he's going to hit the over. He's gonna hit the over. Unless you have Auburn putting this thing to bed with 13 minutes to go in the first half.
I do. I do. It'll be put to bed. And then Wendell Green will get wild. It'll get close. And then Auburn will pull away.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Who do you have advancing along in the Midwest?
So I've got Kansas beating San Diego State, then Iowa. I hate to do this. I apologize to the Jackrabbits, but, you know, at some point. Iowa over South Dakota State, Iowa State losing to Wisconsin, and then Auburn over Miami. So then in the Sweet 16, I've got Kansas over Iowa, Auburn over Kansas, and then I've got Auburn beating Kansas. Bruce Pearl back in the Final Four.
Some of the comments right now are too funny. I did not see Ed Cooley's reaction in real time when he realized he had South Dakota State, but fair enough. All right, so I will go Kansas to move along, and here's the deal. Every year, at least one double-digit seed makes the Sweet 16. Paris, do you have a double-digit seed in the Sweet 16?
I don't know. Okay. I just told you everything.
Good times. The only one I had changed to this one, and you're the best. The only one is South Dakota State for me. I will ride this team. I am the Jackrabbit ambassador on this podcast.
What?
I thought you might be with me. You don't got this team in the regional semifinals.
Okay, fix it then. Yes, I do.
You're changing it?
Yes.
You're changing it right now?
Yes.
Okay. This podcast rides with the Jackrabbits.
I'm not gonna let you do. I'm not gonna let you go further with the Jackrabbits than me.
Okay.
So wherever you take them, I'm taking them at least there.
Team. They're gonna lose by 15 to Providence now. What are we doing? But I do have South Dakota State playing Kansas. I've got Wisconsin.
So do I.
I know. I've got Wisconsin over LSU. Wisconsin has they're low in KenPom. I get it, but they have a wonderful, wonderful draw here. Auburn over USC in an FBI special there. And then I've got Kansas over South Dakota State. You want to take them there?
Are you?
No.
Okay, then no. I just want to go as far as you. I don't have to, to go past you. I just have to go as far as you.
And then I will take – I actually think that Auburn has a real nice path to get to the regional final here. And so I will have Kansas-Auburn. That's a 1-2. And I will have Kansas, as I said on our Sunday show, I will have Kansas moving along to the Final Four because I think it has the most forgiving draw of any one seed. So that's Kansas in my Final Four. GP, lay out your Final Four and title pick for people.
I'll do it in just a second, but first let me remind folks of a great way to enjoy March Madness, and that's with the CBS Sports mobile app. It's your home for not just watching the games on CBS, but also the best lightning quick college basketball scoreboards, updating brackets, expert picks, and the latest news on all the action for the men's and the women's tournaments. The app is free. Just go search CBS Sports in your app store. It should be your go-to sports app for everything. Let's see how ride or die you are with the CBS. Is it on your first page of your phone?
Come on, man. It's in there.
It's the first page of the phone.
Of course. Of course. Absolutely. Got to make sure there's no. Yeah, I'm good. There would be nothing that I would.
Like. Now I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, please, God, don't let anything stupid be on the cover of my
exactly.
phone.
Exactly. No, I'm good. 18 unread texts, 18 unread group me's at the moment, though. So there we go.
Are you the type that can let things sit on your phone like that? That says like
only at this time of the year.
I can't look at it.
It's too nuts. It's too busy. Yeah,
I have to clear it out. Like if it says I've got 7 emails, I have to go in and just delete them, or I got to show that I cannot look at numbers on my screen pop up like that. And you go grab my wife's phone. She got 78 text messages, 14 phone calls, and 800 emails. The cover of her phone just stresses me out to even look at it. God.
You got a plane to catch, my man. This is your Final Four title pick. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it. But for everyone listening, how do you have this playing out?
Gonzaga, UCLA in the Final Four for the second straight year. I've got Gonzaga beating the Bruins once again. On the other side of the bracket, I've got Arizona and Auburn in the Final Four. I've got Arizona winning that game. Gonzaga, Arizona, Mark Few, Tommy Lloyd in the title game. New Orleans, first Monday in April. And the Zags will win a close game and be national champions for the first time in school history. And if you idiots ever tweet me about Gonzaga again, it's going to be an auto block within seconds.
Without a doubt. Real quick on yours, I like the fact this is an unconventional GP Final Four here. You'll go ones and all twos. I like the fact you mix a little UCLA action. And Auburn is, it's not a contrarian pick, but a lot of people are not riding the Auburn wave right now after how they played down the stretch. I think that's pretty good. We are past our deadline for you, GP. So how you want to do this? Because this stream is going to keep going. Do you want to just give shouts and then log off? Or do you just want to say see ya and go catch your plane?
Shouts to Devin Dowdy. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Wendell Lee. Legend. Averaged 0 points in 2 games for Baylor in the 1994-95 season. Shouts to Larnell. I'll let Deadleg close the rest of this thing out. He said he's going to take questions.
I will.
I'll listen on my way to the airport.
People want to know why your wife's phone's getting blown up so much, by the way. So think about that before. They want to know who's finding your wife. Is it a reverse Sydney Sweeney situation? That's what they want to know.
It's a decent question. It's something to think about. I'll talk to you guys again late Thursday night.
We are going to do a late, like 20-minute podcast. It's going to be late after the first round. If you listen and watch on the West Coast, we'll be right in your wheelhouse. East Coast, you'll probably get us in the morning, but we will have a Reaction Thursday podcast for you.
I'll let you guys take it from here. Bye-bye.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top 5 leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Bye, GP. All right, here we go. Okay, now it's time to have some fun. First of all, Nada, if you could, bring up my bracket, my man. Thank you to everyone watching. Biggest live number by far here. You guys are eager for this tournament, and so am I. So it's great to be here. And yeah, GP's had a squeeze to go catch his flight there. So go ahead, fire questions. I will answer a few of them here before I bounce. Here is my bracket, though. So again, I didn't have a double-digit seed in the Sweet 16. I initially had Vermont over UConn. Then I walked that back. South Dakota State is actually rates worse at Torvik, KenPom, but I like their road better. And again, you have to put at least one into the second weekend. They get there every single year. I'll try and read you guys off some of the stats and facts. Here's the CBS Sports app if you're watching. Every year, I kind of toss out just a huge, huge old batch of facts and trends and things to know there. And one of them is that you always get at least a double-digit seed, almost always. There's been like one or two tournaments where that hasn't happened. As for my Final Four, you can see it here on the screen. Not if you want, if you can zoom in, might want to just a little bit. If that's doable, if not, that's fine. I'll read it. Gonzaga out of the West region. I've got Purdue over UCLA out of the East. Beautiful. I'm just going to ride with the Boilers to get it done. Offensively, I trust what Purdue has from a personnel standpoint. And we've seen Purdue be good in the tournament in some recent years. You know, remember when they gave Virginia arguably one of the best tournament games of the past decade? They didn't make the Final Four, but Painter has had some success. I know it lost last year to North Texas. I get all of that. But I just think that, guys, that East is, I think it's ripe for some real noise there. And I would be surprised if Baylor comes out. I just think Baylor's too banged up. But Baylor's going to try and do what hasn't been done since 2007. Make consecutive, win the championship, and then go to the Final Four the next year. Last time that happened with any team was Florida 06 and 07. On the right side of the bracket, yeah, I'll take Illinois to beat Tennessee. Illinois is similar to Purdue in this regard for me. Kofi Coburn, Alfonso Plummer, Andre Curbelo, those guys have the talent to push through. And I've talked with Brad Underwood a couple of times this season. He has maintained to me that this team's, you know, focus, big picture. They know what it felt like last year to get knocked out the way they did. It was rough. I mean, Illinois had a wonderful season and then got completely bounced and housed by Loyola Chicago. I think Illinois in this spot recovers well. It's a good enough offense and a good enough defense while not being elite on either side. It's still, it moves the ball well. And I don't know. I think Jacob Granderson is like one. He's going to be the guy that no one's talking about. He's a really good 3-point shooter. He comes up big. I am banking on Curbelo to be a level above. If you want to sell, and I don't even think I mentioned Trent Frazier, who, by the way, is a top 10 defender in the country. If Curbelo can play within himself and still be that, you know, have that just that wow factor, I think Illinois is representative of what I've been talking about all season long. The one line, the two line, the three line, and I told you the four line would have teams capable of winning the national championship. And while I don't have Illinois winning the national championship, I think it's going to be good enough to do so there. So I will have Illinois beating Tennessee. Arizona has a few weird trends going against it, which is why I'm going to fade it. First-time coaches, you know, making deep runs. It happens. It's not overly common. Arizona's the least experienced team in the field. You normally don't have teams with new coaches and lacking tournament experience making deep runs no matter where they're seated. So we'll see. I think Arizona is clearly good enough to do it. I also, frankly, got to see how good Kirk Carissa can be with that ankle. Without him, I do think Arizona is a different team. Yes, they look good in the Pac-12 tournament. They look great. But I'm going to play the averages here. Give me Arizona into the regional semifinals. Those games will be in San Antonio, by the way. And I'll take Illinois to beat Tennessee. A lot of orange there in that one. And then, yeah, I got Kansas. Final Four, Gonzaga over Purdue. Wow, Nada. As I do this live here, Nada said we just hit more than 5,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. You're all awesome. My goal at the start of this season was to be at 5,000 the night the title game tipped. And you beat that by like 3 weeks. You're incredible. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am going to get to your comments once I explain my champion. Gonzaga over Purdue has the potential to be just unbelievably awesome. You will have Chet Holmgren versus Zach Edey in this spot. You will have Travion Williams versus Drew Timmy. Those two big men will not play on the floor at the same time, we wouldn't think. Andrew Nembhard against Jaden Ivey. I think Gonzaga Purdue is the best possible Final Four of styles we could get anywhere in the bracket, I think. Not to say that's guaranteed to be the best game, but going into it, that one to me sets up as something that could be beautiful there. We just got to see if Purdue can do enough defensively. I'll bank on them. Again, I keep going back to the fact that like Purdue is almost hiding in the bottom left of this bracket, man. Like it can get out of there, but my pick is also based on Kentucky not meeting Purdue in the regional semis because I've got Murray State there and then Purdue kind of advancing along. Oh, by the way, a Purdue-Kentucky matchup where you've got Oscar Tshiebwe against Travion or Zach Edey, really, really tempting as well. If we get that, that'll be incredible. I'd look forward to that. I'll have Gonzaga over Purdue. And if you're watching, as you can see, I will take Kansas to beat Illinois. That is a Bill Self special, of course. Bill Self coached in Illinois before he got the Kansas job. And I got to be honest on this. I don't love Kansas in my title game. I have reached a level of acceptance with this bracket here where I'm just going to let it go. And if it's not great, whatever. But I don't know. Like, it, to me, it makes the most logical sense because I like Kansas to come out of its region. And then Kansas, Illinois, yeah, I'm definitely going to take Kansas in that game. But if it was Kansas, Arizona, I'd take Arizona. But it never sits well with me, even though it happens occasionally, not often. It never sits well with me to go the best team on that side versus the best team on that side. We got it a year ago. The chances we actually get that in back-to-back years, again, particularly when a lot of trends indicate that Arizona is not likely to make a title game run, that's why I'm going to fade them a little bit. I will take Gonzaga, which is not an every-year thing for me. I think I took them a year ago. But when they've been on the one line in years past, I haven't always taken Gonzaga. I will take Gonzaga this year to win the national championship, primarily because it's weird. This year's Gonzaga team is not as good as last year's team. But relative to the field, it's better. It ranks number one in predictive metrics. It has a player, they don't have a Jalen Suggs. I get that. But I actually think what Gonzaga has in Chet Holmgren on both sides of the floor defensively, what he can do and how he changes up. I mean, I've talked to a few coaches and they say when you scout Gonzaga this season, it's more difficult than a year ago and what we had to face with that. I think that's going to be enough. Having said that, if Gonzaga met Arkansas in the regional semis, Duke obviously there, Texas Tech in the regional semis, all of those teams are capable, not to mention, I don't think Bama's getting that far, but Bama's already beaten Gonzaga. So, yes, it's fallible. No doubt. I'm just going to rely on the team that's been the best so far this season. I'll take Gonzaga. And I'll do some live questions here real quick. I'll read these, Nada, in some of the order that they've been sent. I won't hit all these that you start off to the side, but I'll start. Norlander, can Colorado State make a Final Four run? No, but Colorado State is capable of making the Sweet 16. I reported on Monday night, Colorado State, and this wasn't the only team that had this issue. It didn't have its plane booked deep into Monday, which is not common. Now, the reason for this, and then I heard from other either SIDs, assistant coaches, head coaches on Tuesday that are supposed to play Friday. The problem is this. There is a shortage of pilots because, as Longwood coach Griff Aldridge told me, a lot of these pilots took bigger money to fly, I guess, private instead of working for the commercial airlines. And so there aren't as many available. So getting these planes in order is just tougher this year, pandemic induced, than it has been in years prior. As far as I know, everyone's got their bird or their bus and they're going to get there. But Colorado State basically waited for 16 hours on information that wasn't coming in. And then shortly after I decided to report it on Twitter, magically, they were afforded a plane. I'll go to the third question here. If Duke gets upset in the first weekend, can the Ion College Basketball Pod refer to it as K's nun-shining moment? We will not be doing that. It's not unthinkable that Duke loses in the first weekend. I think Michigan State and Davidson are both capable. I wouldn't bank on it. Again, I will be wherever Duke is for CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ. So that will be Greenville to start. And then if Duke wins, it will scoot along to San Francisco. I've never been to San Francisco, so I will be excited to go if indeed that's the case. If Duke does not win, I will go to Philadelphia to cover the regionals there. Norlander, are there any other AC schools with coaches in danger? Coaching talk right now? Oh, boy. Let me check this real quick. Any other schools, AC schools with coaches in danger? Let me just look at the roster. No. No. The answer is no, but I would put it at, I'm not going to say which, I'll put it at 8% that one ACC school that's not Duke doesn't have its current coach next year. Blind item for you. All right, Sully the Dog asks, do you think Purdue will benefit from the officiating outside of the normal Big Ten crews? Maybe, but I mentioned this. I tweeted about it about a month ago. I want to see how they officiate Zach Edey in particular. He's a different kind of player, and I think there's the chance this could go either way, to be honest. What I don't want to see happen here with Purdue or any kind of Shibwe, Kofi Coburn, I really hope these guys, and listen, let's be real on this. I know it's easy as fans to go after these officials and just absolutely kill the Zebras, and sometimes it's deserved, but the reality is, their accuracy, and because they're literally graded out. Every single call, it's reviewed. And those calls and how they perform dictates whether or not they get a second tournament game, a third tournament game. You work a Final Four. And their hit rate is often like 97, 98%. Do you do what you should be doing at your job at a 97 or 98% kind of rate? Just think about that. And they got to make split second decision. So yes, sometimes they're right for some criticism, but keep it in mind just how difficult this job is. I really, really hope that the officials that are, you know, across the board, but in particular, when you've got abnormal players, abnormal bigs, let's get a fair whistle on both sides of it to make sure we've got the best possible game there. Best Final Four food in New Orleans is asked by Jonathan. I cannot give this to you because I need to book my dinner and I don't want to, if anyone's listening and going, I got to make sure I get that reservation. I haven't done it yet, but there's a lot of good spots. I'll give you one that I went to a decade ago when the Final Four was there. It's a little bit off the beaten path. I can't remember what neighborhood it's called, but it was called Bacchanal, I think. Super low key, super casual, eat outside on paper plates. There's like seven things on the menu and they were all incredible. Bacchanal was one that stands out to me all these years later. Norlander, can you give me peace about my UConn to the Sweet 16 pick? Terrified that New Mexico State will pull off the upset. First of all, how dare Parrish? How dare he call me out for talking to Chris Jans? Yes, Chris Jans might potentially be a coaching candidate, but in all seriousness, I called about 18 coaches in the tournament yesterday just to see. I wanted, particularly coaches in the 5-12s, the 7-10s, the 8-9s. I wanted to get a feel on what they thought off record about the opponents that they were facing and how they were. How they were thinking they were going to fare, because these coaches are just going on like 2 or 3 hours of sleep. And so I called Jans on that. Yes, Jans is potentially in the mix. Like he's one of like six guys at least that is in the mix for Kansas State right now. And I don't even know if he's going to be wind up being the leader for that. We'll see on that. I'm told the Kansas State job isn't expected to close, by the way. Anything can happen at any point. Quick aside, and I will answer this question. Because of the nature of the portal and players turning over, you've got all these job openings right now, and some of these ADs are trying to get this done as fast as possible, but it goes up against the tournament. And frankly speaking, like Matt McMahon and Todd Golden at San Francisco, they're both obvious candidates that aren't able to interview right now for all of these other jobs. And these ADs want to fill their positions with the best candidate possible to get ahead of the portal chase. So it's fascinating behind the scenes how that relates to Kansas State, as I'm told that it's not expected that that job is going to close before we get to the end of the weekend. I wouldn't be stunned if we had one or two big jobs closed, though. We will wait and see on that. As for UConn to the Sweet 16, hey, I'm right there with you. I did have Vermont initially. I backed off of that. UConn has the wings, the size. Will RJ Cole be dependent enough? You got to hope Tyrese Martin's three-point shooting doesn't abandon him here because, man, he is a confident. I love his game. I love how he can shoot. And I don't think that UConn defensively will wilt. I like their chances there. And among all the potential second round games between, you know, 6-3, 4-5, those kind of, I think Arkansas UConn has a shot to be awesome, but I don't have that. I've got Arkansas going down to Vermont. We'll see. Scooting on down. I'm going to listen. I appreciate the non-hoops questions, but we got a huge audience here. I appreciate some of these music questions, but I'm going to pass on them for now. Off season, we'll do mailbags. I'll hit all that stuff. Daniel Ernst asked, Norlander, why do you think analysts are fading Wisconsin's chances? I think it's pretty clear. One, you've got Wisconsin, which hasn't rated well in predictives the entire season. And it's not just KenPom, it's Torvik and all that good stuff. They're 33rd right now. How about this? So Wisconsin's a 3 seed. And I mentioned this on the pod. Shouts to Mike Miller, who is, one, my neighbor here in Connecticut, but also was a longtime editor for NBC Sports on college basketball. Great dude, and I'm sure he's listening to this pod, so... great to hear from you, Mike. He and a few people tweeted at me that Wisconsin's not the lowest seeded team at KenPom to ever get a 3. New Mexico in 2010 was 40th. Didn't fare so well when it did that. I think part of the reason is that if you get a high seed and you wind up underperforming throughout the season, it kind of indicates where you might be going. That New Mexico team won its first game, then lost to Washington in the second round back in 2010. Johnny Davis is mostly healthy, but how healthy will he be? Greg Gard's done a wonderful job this season. Remember, Wisconsin in the preseason wasn't projected to even be a for sure tournament team. It takes care of the ball, which I like, but it's not a lead on offense or defense. Doesn't rank in the top 35 in either. Slightly better defensively there. And I'm just telling you, Matt Langel is another coach. Like, I don't know if he'll get a bigger job this year. He's going to be coaching outside of the Patriot League within a year. I got to believe it. He's back in the tournament again, and this is the second best 3-point shooting team. And they gave Colgate a real run. Like, it was until there was like 8 minutes to go in last year's tournament against Arkansas where the Hogs pulled away there. So I think that's why. But I've got Wisconsin Sweet 16. I love their draw, as I mentioned before. Nate Rhodes asked, best double-digit seed, not including Michigan, to make it to the Final Four. I guess this is meaning like the double-digit seed that I think would have the best chance at doing so. Let me look at this bracket real quick, because Michigan's actually a really good – they're a really good candidate. Double-digit seed. Because remember, UCLA did this last year. Oh, man. That's actually a really good question. The best double-digit seed chance to make it. Metrics might tell you Loyola Chicago. It's hard to see, though. They don't have the wins. But the metrics might tell you Loyola Chicago. Metrics would also tell you San Francisco. They don't have the wins. Power conference team. Like, I don't know if Indiana can do what UCLA did. Michigan's clearly the answer to that. Yeah, Yeah, I think I have them losing, but I do think it's Loyola Chicago because of the draw, too. That would be my pick. Both coming out of the South there. That would be my answer for you. Norlander, most exciting potential matchup in the Sweet 16, Tyler Masters asks. For me, it's Purdue versus Kentucky. Sweet 16, exciting matchup. Give me... I'd say... Man, there's a couple of really tasty ones. I think Arizona-Illinois. Remember, they played earlier this season. And actually, Arizona's kind of got a little bit Gonzaga deal where it's got teams in its region where it's already faced this season, and we could get deja vu all over again. Arizona won at Illinois 83-79 in what was a top 10 game of the regular season in men's college basketball. That would be up there. I maintain Gonzaga-UConn could be good. I think Gonzaga-Arkansas has intriguing potential. Jalen Williams is good enough defensively where he can match. They can put him on Timmy or they can put him on Chet. Man, I'm liking these possibilities here. I would say Purdue-Kentucky is right there, though. I think that might be it. Purdue-Kentucky is probably my answer for the best one. So I agree with you, Tyler. Ryan Frank asks, what's the reasoning for Murray State over Kentucky? Completely viable question. Part of me is doing, because here's the deal, man. I got Kentucky number 3 in my overall rankings, 1-68. So I think Kentucky can win the national championship. I don't doubt their capability. Oscar Tshiebwe is my national player of the year. By the way, Kentucky has the number 1 rebounder, Tshiebwe, and Sevier Wheeler is the leader in all assist men in this tournament. So if they can be mostly put together, healthy, Ty Washington, obviously, they've got shooters, they've got experience. This is a different kind of Kentucky team. They're unquestionably capable. I have a hard time discounting a team that plays 32 games and wins 30 of them. And it's not like Murray State's a 30-2 team that's like 58th at KenPom. It's 27th, you know? It was 24th before some other results around the country. The adjusted efficiency at KenPom bumped them down to 27. They played at Auburn, played them well. Lost by 13, but they played them well. And they had a bizarre neutral court loss back in November to East Tennessee State. They won against Memphis. They've beaten up on a lot of bums. I get all of that. It's just an instinct play. KJ Williams and Tevin Brown were on the team with John Morant that beat Marquette. They've won in the NCAA tournament. Trey Hannibal is a really quality point guard for this team. They'll need to be abnormally good from 3-point range. They're just okay. But I mean, it's just a play. Sometimes you just want to pick a team, have some fun. Nate Rhodes also asks, is Ty Washington good to go for this tournament, or is he still limited? I don't have a full answer on that. Calipari's been playing coy the entire season. I expect that Ty Washington will be good to go. I do. I think he will be good to go, and that will be a big factor in Kentucky. If I did not have Kentucky losing to Murray State, I would have Kentucky in the Final Four, and a part of me would actually probably pick Kentucky over Gonzaga. But again, have a little chaos in your bracket. Nothing wrong with that. Angelo asks, do you think the pressure of Coach K's last season is getting to the players? They look tight. They don't look like they're having fun. There's a case to be made for that, but I actually interviewed the players before the Carolina game, and we talked for 5 to 7 minutes on this exact thing. And I'm just telling you, they were all very convincing in laying out why they have not felt pressure to do so in K's final season. They've been playing for themselves. It's been a wonderful opportunity. Remember, before the Carolina game, Duke had 4 losses by a combined 9 points, and it really had a very strong case to be as good as any team in the country. Now it's really been fading because defensively at Torvik, it's outside the top 100 in the past month. It's been a real problem there. I think at some level it's there, and I actually kind of wonder if privately they're going to feel it even more, because like once you get to – this is hard to explain. Once you get to the tournament – and I'm only saying this through the lens of how I cover it, being on the ground and you know, going to the press conference and seeing the teams. The actual pacing your everyday life going through the tournament, it's different from the rest of the season. You're in a new city. The NCAA schedule is different. The way you practice, how you practice, everything just has a little bit of a foreign feel to it. I don't know if that will ultimately be a good thing or a bad thing for Duke, because that environment of like, whoa, this really is like the last of it. I'm intrigued to see, intrigued to get down there on Thursday, how Duke responds to it. I think it's going to respond well. Again, I got Duke getting into the Sweet 16 and not getting pushed too hard in either of its games. And then Phil asks, Norlander, how do you feel about AQ teams in the first four? It feels unfair to me. I'd rather have the first four with at-large bubble teams only. My good buddy Tony Reale tweeted this out on Sunday night, I saw, and I agree with him in principle. In fact, I've had coaches of 16 seeds in the past tell me that it doesn't, and they've told me privately, like, I don't know if any coach has really said this on the record. They're like, you don't feel like you're in the tournament. Like, you go to Dayton, the NCAA does a great job. Dayton's a great venue. They fill the building. That's great. It doesn't feel like you're in the tournament until you are playing on a Thursday or Friday. And I totally get that. But the benefit is this: Texas Southern won again on Tuesday night. It's 3-0 in his past three first four games. That conference gets NCAA tournament units. And the units is a way of the, it's basically the NCAA makes all this money off the men's tournament. And it breaks down how much your conference gets based on if representatives from your league win tournament games. So if you go to the first four and you win against the 16, you get just as much money as if you go to the tournament and you're UMBC and you beat Virginia. So it actually helps these smaller leagues to get a win, to get money. It's actually financially benefiting. But from the player perspective and that experience, it's like a half measure, which is unfortunate. I just wish the tournament would have had the guts to stick at 64 period. But when the Mountain West fractured from the WAC, what this goes back to, and I got to wrap here pretty quick, but when the Mountain West fractured from the WAC, when that happened, conference commissioners, athletic directors, and the NCAA refused to stick at 64. It was like, no, why are we eliminating an at-large bid? We have another conference, that's fine, but we're sticking with the same number. So they went to 65. Remember, this is now two plus decades since this happened. And so then when they made the decision to expand to 68 more than a decade ago, because thankfully they didn't expand to, 72, 80, 96. They were just like, all right, we'll just go 68. We'll do some at-large teams, some automatic bids. We'll do it in Dayton. It's always just like a little bit of, it's just kind of the ribs poking out of the bracket a little bit. It's fine. I've come to accept it, but nothing's more pure than a 64-team bracket selection Sunday. Like, there are people watching and listening to this that have no idea what I'm talking about. They know, but they never lived it. The idea that on selection Sunday, no social media, you wait the entire day to get that show and you see that bracket. And then the next morning you go out, dude, I know I'm going to sound old here. I don't care. This was all, you go out the next morning, you buy the USA Today color version of that big bracket, you cut it out, you write your picks in, and you have to wait until Thursday to get to that first game. And you weren't able to watch all the games. You got one game. And then in like 94, they were like, all right, we're going to go two screens and you're going to watch both these games for 95 seconds. And then we're going to pull away. There was a magic to it in terms of, okay, you saw the score on the screen. When are they going to bring it? And like, your game might be a laugher. Then they'd bring in that other one. Then we went the quad box. Red Zone did not invent the quad box. Okay. CBS did back in the 90s. It's better to be able to watch all the games now, but there was something that was really awesome about the anticipation of the 64 team tournament era. And it was really, really, really cool. So I appreciate everyone dropping in questions. There's been a ton. I wish I could get to more. Again, I want to thank everyone for subscribing to the YouTube channel, getting us so highly rated on the Apple Podcast charts. That's really awesome. We are going to have, I'm going to give you our schedule as I bounce out of here. We are going to have tournament recaps after every single round going forward, not including Wednesday night first four. So on Thursday, Paris and I will probably do about 20, 25 minutes after the games are done. He's going to be in studio. I'll be in Greenville. That will be a late live podcast, but we will go live on YouTube. And we'll kind of keep it tight because it's going to be after 1 a.m. Eastern. Then on Friday, since I'm covering games, that I believe is Booner and GP, they'll do a full episode recapping the first round, setting the table for Saturday. I will be back on Saturday for a shorter 25, 30-minute episode to recap what we just saw there. And then on Sunday night from Greenville, I'll be there. GP will be in New York. We will do a full Sunday recap and then look ahead to the Sweet 16. So we will have you covered across the board. Please continue to send reviews if you can. They certainly help. Please spread the word. So many of you are doing that. Thank you all so much again. I am encouraging you again to join our bracket group. That number is growing significantly. We will have prizes. We will be tracking. And we want to get that like to north of 2,000 people. So continue to join with all of that. Keep those likes going. I'm seeing right now, need 10 more likes to get to 169. Nice. Plus 100. And I'd like to see that number get there. Please, please, please. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. A little bit of a different pod here because GP had to scoot on out and catch the plane. But since the live number was so good and you guys are as geeked as I am for this tournament to start. Seriously, though, like how great is this feeling on Thursday morning tomorrow? You wake up and the actual tournament as we know it to be is going to be starting. It's going to be incredible. I will be getting up at about 5:30 in the morning to fly to Greenville. So I will be on the ground there, getting a spot to watch some games. I'll go check in on some press conferences, do all that great stuff. It feels amazing to have this tournament back the way that we love it. 14 sites spread across the country, traditional format, traditional TV windows, all that good stuff. I can't wait. And as a reminder, I'm going to give you a TV schedule for Thursday. Since a lot of people listen to this on Wednesday afternoon or maybe even Thursday morning before we get to the games, here is your Thursday schedule, TV schedule, Nord or not. It's like, Norlander, shut up and let's get out of here. I will, but I got the mic right now. So we're going to take advantage of this, giving people a huge episode as promised. Here is your Thursday TV schedule. You got Michigan, Colorado State kicking off this thing at 12:15. This is an awesome first window. Then you got South Dakota State, Providence at 12:40. That's True TV. And then Memphis, Boise State at 1:45 on TNT. That is such a great 1-2-3. The fourth game, probably a laugher. Baylor, Norfolk State, 2 o'clock. I get it. So those are your first four. And then after, so you got Ian Eagle, by the way, on the Michigan, Colorado State game. That's great stuff. Eagle will be on the Longwood, Tennessee game at 2:45. Richmond, Iowa, Georgia State, Gonzaga, and then Marquette, Carolina is the second one. Marquette, Carolina, 4:30 about. That's going to be that late squeeze before we get to the night session. Then at night, you've got New Mexico State, UConn, TNT, 6:50. St. Peter's, Kentucky is your 7:10 tip on CBS. Shortly thereafter, 7:20 on TBS, you will have Indiana St. Mary's, and then you will have Creighton, San Diego State on 7:27 on True TV. That's a pretty solid, your first window on Thursday in the afternoon and your first window on Friday night. Those are pretty solid windows. And then the late window here, love a dramatic late window. Just give me something insane happening at 12:05 in the morning on a Thursday or Friday. And I think we got a chance here. Sometime around 9:25, you'll have Arkansas versus Vermont coming out of Buffalo. Brad Nessler on the call with my guy, Evan Washburn, doing sideline. San Francisco Murray State is your 9:40 Thursday night on CBS. Ian Eagle on the call. Jim Spanarkle. Shouts to Jamie Erdahl. Absolutely. Gosh, I love the fact that Eagle's going to be on that call. High potential there. And then your final two Thursday games, UCLA Akron. I kind of feel like that one might not be close. That's Andrew Catalan, Steve Lapis. And shouts to Andy Katz. He's doing sideline there. And then the last tip will probably be Kansas versus Texas Southern out of Fort Worth, True TV 957. That's your Thursday schedule. I'm going to wrap here. Thank you to everyone. Continue to subscribe, rate, like, you know the drill. We will see you again on late Thursday, early Friday, live on YouTube. It'll be in the feed for you if you wake up Friday morning. I'm Matt Norlander. Talk to you soon. Have a great Thursday of the first.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.